I'm Rachel Poley, and I'm your host for the Merry Writer podcast. Unfortunately, Ari couldn't be here this week, but don't worry, I have a special guest with me, so don't worry about that. So this week, we're on episode 116, and we're asking, how do you approach writing Black historical fiction? Before we begin, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening so you never miss a show. And if you enjoy this episode, please give it a like, write a review, and share it with your friends. It really helps the podcast grow. Now, without further ado, please help me welcome author Yecelia Yisrael to the show. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. EC for short, so I'll be saying EC.
That's fine. Hey.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's like really awesome to finally have you on the show and to finally meet you in person, so to speak.
Right. Likewise. Yeah. We've been for a while, so this is nice.
I know. Yeah, it's been, I can't remember when we met. We met each other through our blogs, and but it's been a few years that we've been talking.
Definitely.
So it's pretty cool. Would you like to tell our listeners anything about your writing background and what you do and all that fun stuff?
Absolutely. Well, I'm Yecelia, and I've pretty much been writing since I was a kid. I started taking my writing more seriously in 2010 when I published my first collection of poetry. I have a background in professional and technical writing from CSU, Chicago State University, because I'm from Chicago, but I'm now down here in Dallas, Georgia. I write full time and all of that good stuff. But yeah, I've pretty much been writing in general since like forever, since I was a kid. So
that's amazing, because you write so many different things. That's the other thing, you write poetry too. I like almost forgot about that, so we'll have to have you back on again to talk about poetry.
Oh, absolutely. I love poetry. Is my first love, I would say, my first writing love.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're such an amazing writer. Have I read all of your books?
I hope so.
I think I've read all of them. Because you've written, how many have you written?
I've written 14 to date. Only about maybe 10 are published, because some of my first works are retired. So like the first collection of poetry, and you know, as you learn and as you grow, some of that stuff was just not at my level, like, you know, that I wanted to kind of be out there. So I retired a few of them, but yeah, 14 to date published so far.
Wow, that's what an accomplishment. That's amazing.
Thank you.
When did you publish your first one?
In 2010.
That's a lot in 12 years. Good for you.
I try. And it's funny because I consider myself a slow writer. So, you know, I try.
Yeah, well, everybody goes at their own pace. I mean, it is what it is. So in addition to poetry, you also write a lot of historical fiction with like Black characters as the main focus. So that's what we'll be talking about today, is how do you approach writing Black historical fiction? So my first question for you is, how did you get into writing historical fiction?
That's a good question, because historical fiction is not an easy genre to write. It's not something that I sat down and consciously thought like, oh, let me get into this, because I think that probably would have made it a little bit more difficult. It was more so the natural process of doing what I love. And other than writing, I also love teaching and I love children. So I was teaching children in Louisiana homeschool program many years ago. I want to say maybe around like 2011, 2012-ish. And I gave them a creative writing assignment on Black history. I think we were talking about slavery or something like that. But I did it with them to show that, you know, we're all learning as writers. It doesn't matter if you're a kid and I'm a grown up, we still, you know. And I put that, you know, of course, I tucked that away somewhere and kind of forgot about it. And then around 2015, I resurrected that piece that I wrote, and that became the first chapter of the first edition of the first book in the Stella trilogy. So that's how I actually got into it with the Stella Trilogy. And a lot of people think the Stella Trilogy is my first work because that's how a lot of people were introduced to me, but it's not. My first novel was not historical fiction, but by teaching the kids and just getting into it and diving into these works, that's how I got into writing Black historical fiction.
That's amazing that it all started from teaching. And you know what? That's actually one of the best type of teachers is when you explain to the kids that learning never stops. It doesn't matter how old you are, like you're still learning. And I love that you wrote it with them and you did the assignment with them to show it's, you know, you were teaching by example, and that's absolutely really cool. That's amazing.
That's not even knowing that that was helping me too.
Right.
I ended up whole series of books from it.
I know, that's so cool. I love that. So now that you've been writing historical fiction for a couple of years, why is this genre so passionate for you?
Yeah, so I've never been a big fan of history in general. So, which is probably hard to believe, but I mean, I wasn't terrible at it. I got good grades and grammar school, high school and stuff like that. But American history in general was pretty boring to me, honestly. It wasn't until I started reading Black literature in college, Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry by Mildred D. Taylor, Native Son by Richard Wright, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sing by Maya Angelou, that I became fascinated with the past and with the past as it is relatable to Black people. And so like, I always want to, now that I'm into it, it's like, I'm fascinated by how was the world different before I existed, right? So I was born in 1987. So how was the world prior to 1987? What did they do? That's why I like going to museums and looking at relics and looking at, you know, how do we speak? How do we talk? Like, how did this world happen? So with the Black history aspect of it, not only how did the world operate before I existed in it, but how did this world serve Black people, and how did Black people serve this world? And that's what kind of keeps me going. Like, I'm constantly fascinated by the idea of how the past operated and how that has contributed to the world we live in today.
Wow. I couldn't have said that better myself, because I was never one for history either growing up. I mean, as a kid, I was that kid that was like, why do we need to learn about history? It already happened. Who cares what happened back then? Like, I didn't understand. And now as an adult, and now that I see how much we are, unfortunately, repeating history, it just puts everything into a whole different perspective. And it's true. It's very weird to think that there was life before I existed, and that the world was still turning and things were happening and all these big events, good or bad. So yeah, I can totally I understand that. But history is such an important part of like just us. And I think the other reason why I wasn't that interested in history was because as a white person and as somebody who grew up in good old America, not to sound political, but it was almost like the Black history was almost like dirty to talk about. So it's like we would glaze over it, and then our teachers, the curriculum would be like, let's look at what this amazing white man did for America. So as I grew up, I mean, my general view of history was tainted. Almost. I don't know if that's too strong of a word, but I don't mean to sound political or anything like that, but as I got older and I realized that there are so many like awesome, like there's so many people that did stuff for not just America, but for the world, like everywhere, like all these wonderful Black people that contributed to the world we live in, contributed to society that nobody really learns about. So you know, when I read your books, like I learned something new, and it's great.
That's my hope, is that I can continue to make those voices heard and stuff like that, because that's just the thing. It's, you know, what I came to realize is it's not necessarily that I didn't like history. I didn't like the history as it was being taught and presented to us. And often when you don't see yourself reflected, it's hard for you to be able to relate to it. No matter what it is you're doing, there needs to be some kind of emotional connection. There needs to be some kind of something that you can latch on to that helps you feel that connection. So if I don't see my people in the history books and I'm not connected to it and I don't see myself, then I'm not very interested. I mean, you glaze over the civil rights movement. You talk about Martin Luther King for 2 seconds, Rosa Parks, Frederick Douglass, the same people every February. We hear about like the same five people. And it's a very limited view of like watered down view of who an entire people are. So I absolutely feel you on that. You know, the way that the history is presented, it's just not relatable to a lot of people, black or white or whatever. It's just not like, okay, this can't be it. Like, what else happens, you know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's so interesting to read your work and to be talking to you about this right now, because as I said, like my view of it was so tainted because it's so catered to a specific group of people. You know who I'm talking about. So it's like, it's, yeah, you have to grow up and you need to do the research and you need to learn yourself and you need to, like, you know, this day and age, we need to figure out how to make changes. And I think with the way that you write your Black historical fiction, like that's a step up in the right direction. So with all that said, speaking of diversity, what advice do you have about adding diversity into your novels?
That's a good question. You know, I hate to, what's the word? You know, I hate to beat a dead horse because I talk about this on every interview that I do, but you got to go back to reading and in particular, to add diversity to your novels, you have to read diverse books. You have to talk to and associate with people of varied racial backgrounds and experiences. Whether we're talking about diversity in terms of putting more African-Americans in your book or putting more people of, you know, different political views as you, whatever kind of diversity it is, you have to, and keeping it on the writing scale, read what you want to write. You know, I know a lot of people are not very passionate about reading. I was fortunate enough to just be that nerdy person who actually likes reading. I know that's not everybody. And there are a lot of writers out there that want to write books, but they're not big, big readers. And to that, I say, you got to get into reading. And the easiest way to do it is by reading books that you want to write, not just that you're interested in, but that you want to write. You know, early on the show, I talked about how I didn't sit down and decide to write historical fiction. It just kind of came to me. But once I got into it, I did have to go back and read more historical fiction and just the kind of books that I want to write. So like, surround yourself with, and it's not just about books either, surround yourself around people who think differently than you do. Like, that's how you grow. You know, like, I like to be around people who know more than me and who are older than me and who have wisdom and so, somebody I can look up to. You know, if you're the smartest person in a room all the time, what are you going to learn? Like, okay, it's good for people to be inspired by you, but who inspires you? You know, you kind of back yourself into a corner. So to add more diversity to your books, read diverse books, like really get in there, more women books, more books by Black people, more whatever, get into that and talking to people and putting yourself in different circles and just open yourself up to more perspectives, because you talk about creating characters. That's the thing. Like, what, how do other people think, you know?
Well, you said it earlier too, about if you're going to be learning history and you can't see yourself in the history and you can't relate to it, then you're just not going to be interested in it. So it's the same thing with writing books, not just historical fiction, but like any genre. If you can't see yourself in one of the characters and you can't relate to it at all, you're not going to be interested in it.
Absolutely. It's the human. People have to be able to emotionally connect. And if we can't do that as writers, then we lose our readers.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, Like, it's great that you, I mean, you've always been a reader. I actually didn't start reading until I was in college because most of my reading, it was always for school. And, you know, I didn't appreciate those books, especially because they were for homework. So therefore I wanted nothing to do with reading. So I hopped on that train pretty late. It wasn't until I was about like 17, 18 years old that I started discovering books. And the book series that got me into reading at 18 years old was a middle grade series, believe it or not. Once you find that passion for yourself, it doesn't matter what it is. And as you said, you started writing historical fiction kind of by accident. Like, once you start finding that passion and you find a little spark for that, whether it's the genre that you're meant to be writing in or if it's something else, like, you just, you got to grow with it and you got to learn with it and just roll with it. And I like what you said about surrounding yourself with people who inspire you, because it is a great thing. Like, I think as writers or as humans in general, we want to inspire others, but we never think about the other side of the coin and how, well, who inspires us? Why do I want to inspire people? What do I want to inspire them in? And how can I go about that? Well, I need to learn and I need to research and I need to grow. So that's, yeah, I know I'm just reiterating everything you said, but whatever you said was just...
Go ahead, girl.
No, I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. Like, what you just said was so beautiful. And it's so true. And the thing with diversity is I think it can be such a touchy subject in some cases because not a lot of people know how to go about it. Like, I know for me, like, my earlier works, it's just filled with white people, because that's what I know. Growing up, people always tell you should write what you know. And I don't necessarily agree with that writing advice anymore. I agree with it to a certain extent, but that's another conversation for another day. But also we talk about writing characters that you can relate to. So I'm white. I know how to write white characters and I know how to relate to them and how to convey them on the page. But a lot of my earlier works, they don't have that, the diversity in there with Black people or Asian people or like anybody else, because I didn't know how to write them and I didn't want to offend anyone. And I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of. They're afraid of offending others in that group. So they just avoid it altogether.
And that's actually, I think that's wise not to force yourself to represent a people that you know you don't fully understand. So if that means sticking to writing characters and you know, that's largely white or whatever it is, then I think that's wise, you know, not necessarily so you don't offend other people, but you want to try to represent people as best you can, you know. And if you know that you haven't done the research, or you know that you haven't been around Black people, or, you know, research Black history, or, you know, have Black friends or whatever it is, or associations, then no, I wouldn't recommend you go and write a book about filled with a whole bunch of, you know, Black people, and you don't have any idea what, you know, life is like for them. So
what would you suggest then if somebody did try to dabble in like Black historical fiction and they didn't have those resources, where could they go and get those resources?
You know, when I listen to that question, I think about any one of us who want to write about something that we don't really, you know, understand how resources. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, there's a saying that you put yourself in the room. You have to get into the circle. I mean, with the internet, it makes it a little bit easier because you could follow Black blogs and social media accounts that focus and dedicated to Black history and, you know, read up on threads and stuff like that. So environment plays a big role in our education. So I would say you have to surround yourself with that environment, put yourself in a room. You know, maybe there's a workshop, if we're talking offline, maybe there's a workshop where a Black woman is speaking and she happens to be an author and you want to create more Black characters, go to that workshop. Or maybe there is, you know, a book club, a Black book club where you are, you know, go to that, see if you can be a member of that book club. Like, put yourself in the room, surround yourself with the people who can give you the tools that you would need.
I think there's a type of library in Scotland, I believe, might not be Scotland, so don't quote me on that, but there's a type of library where you can book a person and you can sit with them and have a conversation with them about their life and certain experiences. Okay. So it's like one-on-one in-person research. And I would love to have that here. I think that should be all over the world.
Yes.
That would be so cool.
As somebody who writes historical fiction, girl, you know how much of a resource that would be. Oh,
right. Excellent. Or even just anything too. Like you would learn so much, and not even just learning about history, but also just getting different perspectives on certain things and learning about other people's lives. Because we're all human. We all have our own story and we go through our own trials and tribulations. And that would be so cool. I don't know why we don't have that all over the world.
Hey, if y'all listening,
whoever can make that happen, please do it. Right. So speaking of characters, you write historical fiction. So like what time periods do you typically write in?
I typically, any time between early 1900s, 20s, or any time between like 1900 to like 1960, I tend to write a lot about the Jim Crow era, the Black Panther era, civil rights, because my hope is to show that era, but to show the things that we're not always taught in school about it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'll write about the Harlem Renaissance, for example, but I'm going to put some tidbits in there you might not have known about some historical figures, the Zora Neale Hurstons and, you know, things like that. So I tend to stay, because of the Stella trilogy, I have to, actually not 1900, because I did write the Stella trilogy. So I'll say anytime between, you know, the period of enslavement for Black people all the way up until the civil rights movement. Typically.
So obviously you weren't alive during those time periods. So how do you write, like, how do you create authentic characters for those time periods?
Yes. This is part of the reason why it takes me so much longer to write books if it's going to be Black, if it's going to be historical fiction, than most people. You know, I always say I really admire people who can write books like a month, every month. Like I can never do that, because it's about deeply researching the period outside of the characters, right? So your imagination plays a part. So for me, I know Black people, so I already know our vernacular, our style. I have it in my head, the kind of person I want to create. But the bulk of the work is about researching the period outside of the characters. What kinds of clothing did they wear? What kind of music did they listen to? And by they, I just mean the whole of the period, not just Black people, but, you know, if it's going to be in America or if it's going to be somewhere in the South, that's another thing. Where in America is the story taking place? What dialect do they speak in that area? What kind of music they listen to? What kind of clothes do they wear? What's the political climate like? I mean, heck, who was the president? What are some things that was going on? And you won't use every single thing in the book, but it's a good idea to know these things, because whether you've written an outline or not, you know, whether you're a plotter or a pantser, doesn't really matter, because I believe that we subconsciously use what we know in our writing. So it stands to reason that you'll be able to create a more realistic character for the time period the more you know about the time. And then that way, the more you write about it, it becomes a little bit more natural. You don't have to refer to your research as much. You don't have to refer to your notes as much, but it's really immersing yourself in that period. And when I say immersing, I don't just mean reading. Reading is kind of number one, but I mean watching movies and documentaries, going to museums, talking to people if that's what you want to do. You know, I haven't had much experience actually interviewing people, but that's something I would like to get into. You know, like we was talking about the library and you get to, you know, book somebody. So if you can, talking to somebody, interviewing them, even if you don't actually interview them, maybe you have a grandma who's like 98 years old, you can talk to about, because she lived during that time, that's better than any book you can read or any movie you can watch. So just taking advantage of those resources, listening to people. I remember Maya Angelou when she was talking about that 5-year mute time that she had. Maya Angelou, she was, you know, molested as a child. Her abuser ended up being killed. She thought her voice killed him. She was mute for like 5 years straight. And after coming out that muteness, she became the great Maya Angelou that we know today. But one of the things she did was she listened to how the preacher talked. She listened to how people spoke, you know, how high they voice go, how low they voice go. All of these things might seem like a lot, but this goes into creating the most authentic character for that time period that you can create.
I mean, as writers, we're all people watchers. We all do it. We all go to a cafe and we sit and we eavesdrop on people's conversations.
Absolutely. So
yeah, you just need to be observant and really pay attention to people. How and big is your library? Of like research, like
I need, put it this way, I need another bookshelf because it's getting out of hand. I need a bigger living room. I fear my living room is starting to look like a library a little bit. I don't know how I feel about that with people visiting. Like, I don't have TV in my living room. I don't. The TV is in the basement. We set that up to where it's like that's the hangout area. Girl, I have no TV in my living room. I have 3 bookshelves though. So if you visit me, I don't know.
I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. So just warning, you come visit me, you're gonna be reading.
Do you have a system? Like if you like temporarily forget something and you're like, oh, where did I read that? Or do I have notes somewhere? Do you have a certain system that you go back to try to find something?
Oh, actually I do, because my husband and I used to run a nonprofit research center in Louisiana, because I'm from Chicago, but I moved to Louisiana like right after I met my husband, and I've been there for like 8 years. Then I moved to Georgia. So we ran a research and fellowship center, and we actually cataloged the books to where, you know, this section is for history, this section is for novels, this section is for when people come in and they want it. So long story short, we don't have that anymore, but we still have that system. Some books actually still have the little red marker that I put on it back in the day. So I have it set up to where one bookshelf is dedicated to, on the top shelf, that's all Bibles and biblical books. Under here, this is Black history type books. The bookshelf over here is dedicated to novels specifically. So no nonfiction, no research type books. So when I'm looking for something, and I usually know right off back, like, okay, I need that resource for medical apartheid by Harriet A. Washington. That's on this bookshelf over here. So I know what bookshelf the books are on, and I know what bookshelf the ones, like if I just want to, okay, I want to just reread a poetry book, that's going to be on a different bookshelf than the one where I'm going to go pick up a Bible, or I'm going to pick up, you know, the New Jim Crow or something like that.
That's really cool. It must have been so fun to like put together and figure out.
Yeah. My husband has his space, poor husband, does he little space. I ain't leave him out of room, but he has a space downstairs. And so, like, I even know, like, okay, his books are different than mine. So it's, you know, down there, you know, if I want one of his books and stuff like that. So I pretty much know where everything is. And it was a lot of fun putting it together.
Well, I'm sure it makes things a lot easier for you in the long run and saves you a lot of time, too. Because I can only imagine how much time is spent. Would you say that you spend more time researching than you do actually writing?
Yes, because I will say that because what happens is I'm at this place between creativity and research. So when I have these explosion of ideas for just the actual writing part, writing the story part, that part I'm writing, I'm not thinking about research. I just need to get that down. I just need to get it out of my head and onto the paper or whatever like that. And then what happens is I come across a moment in my all my creativity where I need to make sure that it makes sense. And I know it's not smart to kind of stop and then read. Like I would stop writing and read a whole book or something like that or skim through a book. Only because, like I said, like historical fiction. Okay, perfect example. So for Beyond the Colored Line, the first draft of that, a beta reader came back to me and said, I was talking about sometime in like the 20s or something, and whatever event, they had TVs, but it was a TV in my scene. So it's just little stuff like that. So, like, if I'm in the middle of writing it now, I'm like, oh, wait, is this how it happened back then? Or did they say, perfect example, okay? So, Black people have been called by various names throughout the years. Color, Negro, Black, African-American, Afro-American. Depending on the time period of the story, I have to use the right term because that's how we were referred to. So if I'm writing during a period where they said colored, it is historically inaccurate to say African-American, which didn't really come into play until like the 1980s. So it's little stuff like that that makes research a bigger part of the writing than the actual writing, because the actual writing is not really going to take that long. It's just the fact that I have to read this book or watch this documentary or take notes on this that takes up most of the time.
A lot of knowledge. Man, you mentioned you have beta readers though. So I think I beta read one of your books, didn't I?
I think you did.
I think I did. So this question is kind of null and void, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. When you look for beta readers, what type of people do you look for in beta readers? Like obviously, since I beta read one of your books a couple of years ago, you obviously don't solely look for just like a group of Black people to read your books. Like, so what's that process like? How do you determine who will best give me feedback on my Black historical fiction novel?
Right. Well, actually, I stopped doing the beta reader thing for a while. I'm thinking about starting it back up for my Black History Fun Fact Friday book, but I don't really do beta readers anymore. But when I did, I usually start with my email list typically. Kind of vetting people through my email list, because these are the list of people who are already interested in my writing. So that's really how I start. These are people who subscribe to the email list, bought books, read books, Black, white, Asian, whatever, they are already interested in what I'm writing. So that's probably how you became, and then also my blog. So that's probably how you became one of my beta readers. So the email list and the blog is my first go-to. And I send out, hey, this is what, usually y'all already know what I'm working on. So I let y'all know, hey, you know, I'm trying to recruit beta readers for this type of book. And I let people who are genuinely interested sign up. I don't really have any extensive, like, way out there thing that I do. It's just a matter of, this is what the story is about. Is this a book you're interested in reading? Because in my thought process, I want the book to be read like it would be read, not as naturally as possible. So anybody, you know, let's just say somebody just walk into a store or walk, scroll on Amazon, they read the scripture. Hey, this seemed like a book I would like to read. And they read it. That's what I want, because I want it to be, you know, real readers reading it, so that the feedback I get is as genuine and as natural as possible. Either you're going to like the book or you're not going to like the book. But now that you say something, with this particular project I'm working on, it is going to be a little bit different, because we're dealing with nonfiction as to fiction. We're dealing with Black history facts you didn't learn in school. We're dealing with a lot of kind of, you know, scholarly type stuff. So I will probably be looking for more African-American beta readers and people who are just Black or not, just really kind of into that kind of very specifically. So it'll be different if I started back up again. But long story short, my email list and my blog, that's my go-to. These are already people who already show that they're interested. Here is a list of guidelines that I'm looking for, because I do want to make sure that I am going to get feedback. That's probably another one. Like I'm going to reach out to people I know going to provide feedback after they finish reading it, because it's a waste of my time if you're not going to say anything. Like, I don't care if you hated the book. I need you to tell me you hated the book and why. So I can make changes. Like, tell me, let your girl know something.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the whole point of a beta reader. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to give feedback.
Get it though, girl.
All right, so that's interesting though, because I wondered if to help you like get involved with the time period and stuff like that, I did wonder if you specifically asked certain beta readers who wrote historical fiction to say like, hey, I noticed that you write in this time period as well. I'm writing a book in this time period. Do you want to be a beta reader? And you can tell me, like, we can swap notes and things like that. But I agree with you. I think it's nice to have a beta reader that is just authentic and like just 100% a reader.
But that's cool. I'm gonna need to go ahead and put that one in my pocket.
Yay, I contributed to something. So do you have any like final last minute pieces of advice for anybody who would like to write Black historical fiction?
Immerse yourself in the culture, not just of Black culture, but historical fiction in general. The only reason I say Black historical fiction is because if you go to Amazon and you put historical fiction in there, a whole bunch of European fiction is going to come up. So I have to niche down, but immerse yourself in historical fiction in general. Like, you know, Rachel basically just gave us some really good advice. Like, okay, let me reach out to some people who actually write within historical fiction, because there's a lot of information you can get from that. Get into watching documentaries. Like, become like, historical fiction is not the easiest genre to write, but it becomes easier the more nerdy you can be. So like, get into YouTube and stuff and taking notes on certain things. Like, I was just watching, but years ago I was watching The Great Debaters. And after watching that movie, I wrote a poem about civil disobedience. That's kind of how it happens. So you'll be surprised how, you know, we're taught to sit around and wait for motivation and inspiration, but it actually comes from action. So the more you do, the more inspired you'll become. So if you want to write Black historical fiction, the more you immerse yourself into historical fiction, the more passionate and excited you will get about doing it. And then once you're on the roll, you'll be on the roll.
That makes sense. I also think like when you do research and things like that, it kind of puts you in the mood to start writing.
It does. And I know for those listening, the word research, you might be thinking that it sounds kind of boring, right? You know, it sounds kind of, but when I say research, I don't just mean just the image of you being in school and you just sitting there not doing it. No, research and comprises everything. Like I said, watching a movie can be research, you know? they just had Nella Larson's passing on Netflix. That's a form for somebody like me. That's a form of research, you know, for somebody who wrote Beyond the Colored Line about a Black woman passing for white. That's kind of something that I'm going to want to watch. Or like HBO Max, they had Letters from Frederick Douglass. That's something I'm going to watch. That's research. Like, everything is research. I mean,
Well, I mean, that's just it. I think if you're really passionate about it, then research doesn't feel like research.
True. True. Absolutely. It is. It's true. It's fun.
Yeah, so, it is.
So passionate about it. And in order to develop that passion for it, that wanting for it, that longing for it, you just got to be more, you got to put yourself more into it. You know, like we was talking about earlier with, you know, somebody who is not Black and want to have more Black character, you got to immerse yourself into the follow some blogs where, and not just for somebody who not Black, like Black writers too who want to write Black historical fiction, follow some book bloggers where, you know, you got people out here, social media has made it, it's a lot of negativity on social media, but it has made it very easy in terms of, it's people who don't do nothing but talk about Black people, Black history, Black books. Immerse yourself in that.
Yeah, I agree. You can meet so many new people. I mean, that's how we met.
Exactly.
And look where we are now.
Right. Yep, exactly.
Well, EC, it has been a delight to have you on the show. I've really enjoyed our talk. Would you like to share anything about yourself with our listeners, like your author bio, and plug away some of your books?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Well, as you guys already know, I'm Ecelia, aka EC. I'm an author, book blogger, and soul poet from Chicago, now living in Dallas, Georgia. Outside of reading and writing, I do enjoy traveling, spending time with family. And so some of my books, one of the books I always plug because I think it's just an excellent introduction to my writing, is I Am Soul, which is a book that you can read for free when you sign up to my email list. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to visit me at EceliaYisrael.com. You're going to follow the blog at thepbsblog.com and follow me on all social platforms at Ecelia. And so, that's pretty much it, because everything is there. You know, visit my website. If you follow me on Instagram, you can click on the link in my bio, and the first button that pops up is download your free copy of I Am Soul. Because from I Am Soul, you'll be subscribed to my email list. You'll be introduced to Nora White of the Renaissance series, the Stella trilogy series, and all of that good stuff. And also follow the blog. The blog is the place where, like I said, I met Rachel. I met so many wonderful people, because it's the place where I most write. So if you're looking for me to, you know, sample my writing, like, okay, I want to read your poetry, I want to read your short stories, I want to read, that's where you would go, because that's where I mostly write at. So the pbsblog.com is the blog. I'm sure Rachel will have all the links for you, and that's it.
I will say that I have read I Am Soul, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book. So definitely go do that. All of EC's links will be in the description below. So be sure to go check her out and, you know, follow and subscribe, do all that fun stuff. And thank you again for joining me on the podcast. But now we're going to turn it over to you guys. What experience do you have writing historical fiction and adding diversity to your books? We'd love to chat about it, so tell us your answers in the comments below. And if you want to get more of the podcast, then be sure to follow us on Podbean, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And for as little as $1 a month, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/TheMerryWriterPodcast for bonus content. It helps keep the show going, so we really appreciate the support. But in the meantime, you guys can tune in every Wednesday for a new episode of the Merry Writer Podcast, where we ask all the right questions. Thanks for listening. Bye. This podcast is brought to you by Scribbled Notes. Our handwriting is awful. The music, titled Inspired, is by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons 4.0.